Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aptar Group Limited Quarter One 2020 Investor Update Conference Call. My name is Darren Lui, and I'm the President and Executive Director of Aptar Group. As a reminder, all participant lines will be on listen-only mode. Please note that this conference is being recorded, and the replay will be available on our website afterwards. The call transcript will also be put up on our website shortly. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that various remarks that we make on this call may contain forward-looking statements subject to risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied. All forward-looking statements made on this call are made based on the beliefs of Aptar Group Limited as of this date only. Future events or simply the passage of time may cause these beliefs to change. For a more detailed description of the risks that impact these forward-looking statements, please refer to our annual reports on Form 20-F. Please be aware that you should not place undue reliance on the forward-looking statements made today. Our update today will be split into four main topics. The first topic being our latest therapeutic initiative on COVID-19. Our second update will be based on the latest on our existing pipeline on SACT1 targeting neuroblastoma and ALS4 targeting Staphylococcus aureus. Our topic three will be our current progress on commercialization of our NLS2 women's health supplement. And finally, we will address some of the recent key questions received from our investors. I will now hand over to our Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, Mr. Ian Chun. Thank you, and over to you, Ian.
Hi. Welcome to this call for providing an update to all our stakeholders on certain recent developments of Aptar Group. First of all, regarding our latest strategic initiative on the COVID-19 disease. COVID-19 disease is highly contagious, and confirmed cases globally have now exceeded 400,000, and the World Health Organization has declared COVID-19 as a global pandemic. There are a number of pharmaceutical companies developing vaccine-based therapies to protect people from catching the virus. However, we think the therapeutic standpoint for treating sick people is equally important, if not more, and we must deliver a fast response to COVID-19. In order to accelerate development, as announced recently, we have initiated an additional research and development project targeting the coronavirus group and have completed initial screening under the SMART Act platform, which is our drug repurposing discovery platform. Out of a library of more than 2,600 approved small drug molecules, we have identified at least three potential candidates, collectively SACT-CoV-19, for further preclinical investigation against the new coronavirus, COVID-19. The benefit of our strategy is that the identified repurposed drug candidates have already undergone human trials that established the drug's safety, toxicity, and pharmacokinetic clinical profiles, thus potentially significantly shortening the development costs and timeline to reach human clinical trials for the new indication. Secondly, regarding our latest update on our existing therapeutic pipeline. For our ALS4 project, a small drug molecule candidate indicated for the treatment of the infections caused by Staphylococcus aureus, including methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, commonly known as MRSA, is based on a novel antivirulence antibactericidal approach. Through inhibiting the production of the cephalocysin, ALS4 renders Staph aureus highly susceptible to the host's immune defense. This novel mechanism is significantly different from the bactericidal approach found in currently marketed and developing antibiotics used to treat Staphylococcus aureus, which are experiencing increasing drug resistance issues. Specifically, MRSA infections in humans typically exhibit high rates of morbidity and mortality and can cause complications such as infective endocarditis, pneumonia, or sepsis. relapse, and as a result, hospital readmission. Staphylococcus bacteremia infection is very common, and treatment can be extremely costly. Therefore, a number of these indications are currently targeted in our clinical trials plan. In February, we released further positive data from our current investigational new drug, IND-enabling studies. As elucidated in our previous press release dated September 9, 2019, LS4 did not show any mutagenicity in the in vitro AMIS tests. Our currently generated in vitro micronucleus test results also showed that LS4 is not genotoxic, indicating the non-mutagenic nature of the drug. Furthermore, the results of the in vitro HERG assay study predicts a low risk of LS4 causing cardiac QT prolongation. We have also demonstrated the efficacy of ALS4 in animal models upon oral administration. Compared with the current mainstay of treatment of MRSA infections, such as vancomycin or daptomycin, which is typically administered in an IV injectable form, with the exception of an oral form vancomycin specifically for treatment of the Clostridium difficile diarrhea with staphylococcal enterocolitis only. An oral active agent enables wider market penetration, targeting both outpatient and potential prophylactic markets. Subject to completion of the current studies, Atorm Group targets to submit IND for ALS4 in the second half of 2020 to commence phase 1 trials in North America. Another update is for our SACT1 program. SACT1 is the first repurposed drug candidate to be developed under the SMART Act drug discovery platform, which employs a systematic approach to screen a library of over 2,600 market-approved small molecule drugs in order to identify, patent, and repurpose against a current identified universe of 7,000 and increasing orphan diseases, over which over 90% is still untreated or does not have effective treatment. Through the SmartX platform, Atorum Group has successfully identified a patentable candidate, SACT1, which shows preclinical efficacy for the treatment of neuroblastoma, being an entirely new therapeutic area from its currently approved indication. Recently, we announced significant progress about the positive data and development in relation to the repurposed SACT1. Neuroblastoma is a rare type of childhood cancer that develops in infants and young children. Our current pre-IND preparation is going well, and we are on course to apply for orphan disease designation and file an IND under the 505(b)(2) pathway in the second half of 2020. Thirdly, regarding current progress on commercialization of our NLS2 women's health supplement. Our dietary supplement NLS2 is targeted for the relief of women undergoing menopause or postmenopausal cycles and experiencing related symptoms such as flushes and even osteoporosis. The supplement is made from Chinese yam, Dioscorea opposite, a powder containing an active ingredient called DOI, which is Atorum Group's non-hormonal approach intended to meet certain growing $17 billion per year global women's health consumer nutritional market. We have entered into a regional distribution agreement with Multipack Limited, a local company holding the famous tea brand Look You and other health products. The supplement will initially be sold in Hong Kong, and we are seeking regulatory clearance to market the product in other major jurisdictions. At this stage, the production of Atorum Group's NLS2 DOI-based bioactive nutritical tablets have commenced production in Canada and will be marketed under the brand name Native as well. The product is expected to be revenue-generating in 2020. I will now hand it over to Mr. Darren Loy.
Thank you very much, Ian. Well, we have received and consolidated a number of questions from our investor community over the last few days, and our Chief Medical Officer and Executive Director, Dr. Clark Chan, and myself will now address these questions. Question one, for what shall the proceeds from the recent capital raise of USD $10 million in February 2020 be used? Well, we attracted a strong round of interest from U.S. institutional funds and existing shareholder interest in our company through the February capital placement. The proceeds will be utilized for a number of areas, including the following. Firstly, the expansion of our drug development pipeline, including the continuing development of our Smart Ag platform of SACT2, SACT3, and the recently announced SACT COVID-19 projects. Secondly, the continued development of our existing leading therapeutic candidates of SACT1 and ALS4 to their respective clinical phases targeted in second half of 2020. Thirdly, the continued commercialization of our NLS2 women's health supplement. And finally, potential acquisitions of additional technologies that will enhance our stakeholder value. However, we currently do not have specific commitments or agreements for any such acquisitions. Question two, what are the key catalysts in quarter two and the second half of 2020? The key catalysts for the remainder of the 2020 year will include the following. Firstly, our pending progress in developing SACT1 and ALS4 into the respective clinical stages in North America. Specifically, it is targeted that SACT1 as a repurposed drug with an established safety, toxicity, and PK record in the past will pursue the 505(b)(2) regulatory pathway and subject to FDA's clearance to commence neuroblastoma phase 2 related trials in 2020. ALS4, also subject to an IND application, would be targeted to commence safety-related phase 1 trials in North America in the second half of 2020. Secondly, towards quarter 2 2020, we hope to report back our progress of our preclinical studies for our SACT COVID-19 therapeutic candidates and any further collaboration parties for this project. Subject to further readout of our preclinical studies, we will update the investor community on further timelines to proceed towards clinical trials and will explore with the relevant regulatory agencies for any fast-track review processes if available. Thirdly, towards the remainder of the year, we also expect our NLS2 supplement for women's health is on track and is expected to commence generation of revenue for the company through our proprietary distribution and third-party distribution channels. And finally, we are constantly reviewing opportunities for strategic investments and acquisition opportunities. There are, however, no existing commitments or agreements in place. We will report back to our investors in quarter 2 2020 and make the appropriate disclosures to market if this becomes relevant. Question 3, what is the clinical development plan for SACT1 and ALS4? I will now hand over to our Chief Medical Officer and Executive Director, Dr. Clark Chan, to answer this question and the next few questions.
Thank you, Darren. For ALS4, we seek to add our drug to the standard of care, which is IV vancomycin or daptomycin for the treatment of MRSA infections. Indeed, the mortality of MRSA infections is still around 30 to 40%, even though the standard of care is being given, indicating the current treatment cannot adequately address the unmet needs in this disease area. We seek to use ALS4, which is not an antibiotic, to overcome the challenges experienced by the existing antibiotics, namely high mortality, long duration of infections, high relapse, and recovery rates. And these will also be our clinical endpoints in our upcoming clinical trials. Our first indication will be targeting a small patient population, for example, a subgroup of MRSA bacteremia, to enable us to file NDA with FDA via a LPAD pathway, which stands for Limited Population Pathway for Antibacterial and Antifungal Drugs. In parallel, we are also running clinical trials on other general indications such as pneumonia, skin or soft tissue infections, and urinary tract infections. The clinical assessment of AOS4 in prophylaxis of MRSA infections will also be conducted. For SACT1, we will be targeting the first risk. We will be targeting the high-risk patient group, especially those who fail to respond to any available treatment. We are planning our clinical trial for SACT1, both as a single drug and as a combination therapy to the standard of care, subject to the clinical results, and we will assess for overall and progression-free survival as the primary endpoints, tumor response rate as our clinical endpoints in our trials. Question 4. Where are our key research development facilities and sites? Our key research development facilities are located primarily in two sites. The first one is in Hong Kong Science Park, where we have access to over 2,700 square feet of laboratory space, focused on preclinical work including formulations, CMC, and non-GLP-related preclinical preparation. Our second site is in Toronto, where in partnership with Kofa Pharmaceutical, we carry out GMP manufacturing through over 4,000 square feet of laboratory space. Our Toronto site also helps to coordinate our planned GLP and clinical trials for our SACT1 and AOS4 in North America. Question 5. What is the market size of those indications, for example, neuroblastoma, Staph aureus, and why are these indications considered unmet? The global market size of neuroblastoma in 2017 was already over $2.6 billion, and the expected global market size by 2023 will be around $3.23 billion. The disease neuroblastoma is considered unmet because children in the high-risk group have a 5-year survival rate of around only 40-50%. Even though standard of care is given, which is usually a combination of chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and other drugs, such as isotretinoin. In our preclinical study, SACT1 shows synergistic efficacy with existing chemotherapy. Our repurposed drug has a well-established safety profile in humans, and up at 150 milligrams per day, the death rate was 0%. In prior clinical studies with no dosage-related adverse events. We strongly believe our SACT1 add-on to the standard of care will be beneficial to neuroblastoma patients, especially in the high-risk group. The global market size of Staphylococcus aureus infections, including MRSA, in 2016 was $2.97 billion, and the expected global market size by 2025 will be $3.91 billion. MRSA is considered a met because the current treatment usually cannot adequately address the medical need. The mainstay of treatment for MRSA infections is usually via IV vancomycin or daptomycin. However, the mortality is still as high as 40% for pneumonia cases and up to 60% for bacteremia cases. Even when the drug is given, the development of complications such as endocarditis, pneumonia, relapses, and recurrence are still common. With our impressive preclinical data, we're attempting to add AOS4 to the standard of care to overcome the challenges that the existing antibiotics are experiencing. As shared earlier on, we plan to use AOS4 to address three clinical endpoints, which includes, first, reduction in mortality rate, second, reduction of the duration of infections, and third, reduction of relapse and recurrence. In addition, as mentioned earlier, contrary to the injectable form of existing antibiotics such as vancomycin or daptomycin, AOS4 is the only oral active and bioavailable form of AOS4, and in the outpatient setting for prophylaxis market should not be overlooked. Question 6. What are our thoughts on COVID-19? COVID-19 is now a global pandemic and have already exceeded 400,000 confirmed cases globally. We are concerned that given potential mutation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus strain and infection behavior, this disease may well continue to last for the medium term and also provide additional challenges of the effectiveness of upcoming vaccines being developed. Although the current SARS-CoV-2 virus with a mortality rate of around 4.1% has a lower mortality rate, that of the 2003 SARS virus strain, which was 9.6%, or the 2012 MERS virus has a mortality rate of 37%. The current SARS-CoV-2 virus has a more resilient survival period and a higher infection rate. So it is now our strategy to tackle this disease from a therapeutic standpoint, and we will continue to investigate and develop our SACT-CoV-19 drug candidates under our Smart Apps platform for the treatment of COVID-19. We hope to work with our collaborator to speedily deliver a workable therapeutic solution to the world. We will continue to provide our stakeholders update of this progress in the next few months. I will now hand back over to our President and Executive Director, Mr. Darren Loi, for the remaining questions.
Thank you, Dr. Clark Chan. I will continue to answer the remaining questions. Question 7. What were the factors causing recent volatility in the stock price? But in our view, the recent downturn generally in U.S. markets is mainly attributed to the global economic downturn caused by the spread of the COVID-19 disease, which has become a global pandemic as declared by the World Health Organization. We would like to inform our stakeholders that despite the virus situation, our development progress and recent expansion of pipeline continue to operate on a business-as-usual basis and have not been affected by the recent COVID-19 pandemic. With the recent capital raise completed and supported by our U.S. institutional fund shareholders, our fundamentals remain strong, and we will continue to target to deliver those key catalysts and drive shareholder value as we have planned and communicated to our investors so far. Question 8. What is the current cash position and how long will this sustain the development? After our February capital raise as of mid-March 2020, our current cash position, including our undrawn credit line, is over $20 million. This will continue to fund our operations and any strategic initiatives well over the next 12 months, and will continue to help drive our lead candidates into the various clinical trial stage. Question 9. When is the next major update? We expect to provide ongoing major updates via our press release updates, such as Business Wire, and our virtual investor update arranged by Sobury Trout as our IR agent. The next virtual update will be held on April the 2nd, 2020, and details are available on our investor relations website. If you would like to be added to our newsletter distribution list, please feel free to email your contacts to investor.relations@aptorumgroup.com. Our second quarter 2020 investor telephone conference update will be targeted for June 2020, and further information will be announced closer to date. I shall now hand over to our Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, Mr. Ian Hoon, for closing remarks.
On this note, I would like to conclude by saying that year 2020 is a key pivotal year for Aptorum Group as a number of our programs progress towards clinical stages, especially in the second half of 2020. And if all goes as planned, the above explained new strategic projects are expected to add significant value to the company. On behalf of the company's executive management, we thank everyone once again for joining the call. And if you have any further questions, we would be happy to respond to you. And please send your questions to investor.relations@aptorumgroup.com. We look forward to communicating with all of you again next quarter. On behalf of Aptorum Group Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.